Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll keep going. How about Kay Bueno in Oakland? What's up, Kay Bueno? Thanks for the call.
Hey, what's up, guys? What are the most Mondayest feeling Mondays in a while?
No doubt.
That's so well said.
So Monday.
I mean, the gray skies doesn't help either, right? But look, I think earlier, like, what grade? If I can give a grade for Purdy, I'd give him an F+. From yesterday,
okay.
That's even such a grade. I mean, he just looked horrible. He's definitely not healthy. You know, it's one of his worst games he's had in his career, I think. But I mean, he's clearly not healthy. It's his toe is affecting his throwing from the first drive of the game. His throws, even the ones that were caught, they just looked off. They were high. They were all high. Looking like Jimmy Garoppolo out there, and it's just you can't put it all in him because there were clearly some drops for the receivers. So that's where the plus comes in. But an F+ from Purdy yesterday. I was just wondering, how hurt is Mac? Because I was hoping really that Mac could have got the start and give Purdy another week to recover, get him ready for the Rams game. And also, this could have been a sweet little revenge game for Mac against his old team.
I'm thinking, because
Mac hasn't looked that bad.
No, he hasn't. He doesn't look bad. I don't know how many people. Kid Bueno, thanks.
I think he's less hurt based on today's injury report.
When people say how hurt is he, there's only one answer. We don't know. But yes, Dibs, as you're pointing out, I think the only thing that we can take from reality is that if you go to yesterday's game, one player had an injury designation and one did not. So I think Purdy was more healthy. Now, as of today, Purdy would have missed practice, and Mac Jones was a full participant. So who's healthier today? I think Mac Jones is.
That's right.
As far as we can tell.
And we'll see as tomorrow and Wednesday, and then the all-important Thursday comes around. And I would guess that by the time you get to Thursday that Brock Purdy would be questionable. I wouldn't anticipate that he is ruled out until you get to Thursday. I think at this,
I don't know.
I mean, it might be so bad that he gets ruled out sooner, but I think that with a short week, you're just going to get push this thing as far as you can to the deadline before you make a decision.
Here's what Kyle said today and what Brock told him last night.
He didn't indicate it to me at all during the game. I talked to him on the phone last night, and he said it was starting to bother him a little bit last night. Nothing during the game at all.
Okay, and the status for Thursday, again, these are comments this morning.
I think anytime guys are, hopefully we'll find out more later today, but anytime guys are sore and hurting on a Monday, you usually don't stress too much about it, but anytime you have a Thursday game, it's a totally different element. So yeah, I'm concerned with anybody who's not totally healthy at this moment, but we'll have to give more information on that later today to really kind of have a clue of what to speculate.
Okay, and Kyle was also asked if the toe injury impacted his mechanics.
I mean, I don't see how an injury, I mean, you don't see that with your eyes. Yes, there was he had some inaccurate passes, which guys do in games, is that attributed to the toe? I don't know. That's something that I'll ask him later, and I'm sure you guys will too.
Okay. I mean, this is the norm that when there's a Thursday game, you do your conference call really early. And so there was a dynamic in the conference call today of Kyle, I noticed, knowing a lot less than he normally knows on his Monday press conference because it was early in the morning, and he hadn't talked to anybody yet. He hadn't seen anybody yet. So, apologies for saying it this way. It was kind of worthless because half of his answers, if not more, were like, this is what I'm thinking right now, but I'll know more later. Like, there was just a whole lot of IDK.
Yeah.
In every single answer.
Well, there always is, and especially when it comes to injuries, because he doesn't know how the toe is going to be come Thursday, and nor does Brock Purdy know how the toe is going to be. You might have an idea, unless it's a real cut and dry, no pun intended, injury, like, okay, broken wrist. We're going to cast it. It's going to be this. It's going to be that. If you're a lineman, we're going to put a soft cast on you, and you're going to play. If it's the quarterback, well, now you're going to be out 4 to 6. But with a turf toe, you just don't know how it's going to respond to treatment and rest and all the rest of it.
888-957-9570. Jason in Oakland is next. Hi, Jason. Thank you for the call.
Willard Dibbs, what's going on? Hopefully y'all having a cool afternoon.
Yes, sir.
This is what I want to say. If Matt Jones starts on Thursday, and I want you guys' honest opinion. I know we fans are pretty. He took us to the championship and Super Bowl. He had some good early seasons, but it seems like he's regressing. 16 interceptions, 1-5 in these last couple of games. Come on, man. I know, Willard, you like Purdy a little bit, but it's starting to look like he's regressing. And this is what I want to ask you specifically, Willard. If Matt Jones wins this next game against St. Louis, I mean, not saying
yeah, against,
LA Rams.
Against LA, yep.
We win this game, Willard. Do you go back to Purdy if he's healthy the following week?
Oh, my God. Want me to answer it real quick or super-duper quick? Jason, there is absolutely, unequivocally, no semblance of a quarterback controversy in this city or on this team. And that's not just my opinion. I promise you, that is the way this organization views it after the contract that they just gave him. When Brock Purdy is healthy, he will go. And one loss, one loss does not change that. And quite frankly, with all due respect, Jason, I think it's wild that that would even come up after one loss. They're 3-1.
You know he won 1-5 in the last 6 games. You know that.
It doesn't matter. I mean, you're going into last year, which was a completely different scenario, and a team that wasn't playing for anything, and a defense that was totally awful. Look, you're not wrong, Jason. Of course, you're not wrong. Well, they're 1-5. Okay,
and you know that, right?
It is 6 games.
You know that.
But we can always do this where we pick a certain number of games and then go, hey, for the last, you know, like the last 8 Thursdays, this has happened. It's like, okay, are they down a little bit with all the injuries and the problems they're facing? No doubt. Has he been great? No, but I am not, like, you don't build $53 million a year in a 5-year contract on a 6-game run.
He's actually 2-4 in his last 6.
Okay,
because,
2-4.
Well, he didn't play that last game of the year last year.
Yeah.
That was, I think that was a Dobbs production, but if you go back to his last 8 starts, he's 2-6.
Okay. Yeah, no, it has not been good. It has not been good, and it is not all Brock, but it has not been good. But no, there's no quarterback controversy. Jason, thank you. You know, like, yeah, Brock Purdy, is he struggling, or are we needing to sort of readjust how we view him? Do you think he's regressing? We can have all these conversations, but there's no quarterback controversy.
I agree.
And I think it's hilarious that they would score 16 points against Arizona last week, and somebody would come out of that and be like, Mac Jones, let's do that for the next few years. Come on. Like, seriously,
well,
come on.
Can we just look at the play of Brock Purdy relative to what we've seen him do and relative to how we've seen him play well?
Let's do it.
And even if you take the numbers out of it and you just look at the eye test, you mentioned his lack of a desire to run yesterday might be the toe. What I'm seeing, not only in this game, but in his earlier start and going back to some last year, he just isn't stepping forward and ripping the ball. It's not the elbow anymore. Maybe it's the foot. He can't push off and he can't really get a lot of mustard on the ball. And it makes it hard to really be consistent and effective when you're just floating the ball around a lot.
888-957-9570. How about Scott in Marin? Hi, Scott. Thank you for calling. What you doing?
Hey, how you guys doing? It always cracks me up when 49er loss is the best, man. For Ray, you get all the nuts coming out of the woodwork. I mean, you judge Brock Purdy, you know, to say that guy's argument that he had on earlier was a joke, and you argued the right points against it. But to say it, Mac Jones, you prefer Mac Jones. Mac Jones would have got killed that yesterday out there. You know. I mean, it's just and Brock is definitely not healthy. You can see that. And I think it's 100% the reason why those balls that were floating. But despite everything, at three turnovers up to the last to the last possession, they were in position to win that game despite the special teams being an absolute disaster. And if Brock protects the ball in that last possession, I have no doubt that he wins that game. That's my feeling. And I'm telling you that the guy I was shocked about, I haven't really seen him much, is Trevor Lawrence. He tried to give that game away I don't know how many different ways.
Yeah.
You're going to tell me that guy?
Well, just one way. I mean, the way he tried to give it away was by sliding out of bounds when he could have kept the clock running.
No, he's just not that impressive. I mean, he's just, you know, again, like on a day, and Scott, thank you, on a day where he had no sacks and no hits, it's just not that impressive. He's not awful. I never thought he was awful, but there's no envy there.
He's just he's a game manager.
Yeah, Purdy versus Trevor Lawrence, I have no envy whatsoever.
I just questioned some of the decisions that Trevor was making and a couple of the throws, and he got away with two of them that were batted, tipped, and could have been intercepted. Stout did intercept the one, but it was called back for pass interference, which was a little bit of a ticky-tack call. I can readily admit it as a guy who loves the refs. That was one where the eyebrow kind of goes up, but Trevor Lawrence just 21 of 31, 174, and a touchdown. And I want everyone to do me a favor and look up Jalen Hurts and his numbers and see how Philadelphia is winning these games. Philadelphia is undefeated, and they won yesterday with about 240 yards of total offense. Jalen Hurts is kind of in the Trevor Lawrence mode where he has two amazing receivers and they don't really throw the ball very often.
Well, but he does. There's such a presence to Jalen Hurts on the field. They do things a different way. So statistically, it's always going to look a little bit different. I mean, I try not to get overwhelmed with the stats because, quite frankly, if you do want to just dive stats, then you'd come out of last year and be like, this Mahomes guy sucks. Like, if you just were looking at stats, he did not have a good year last year. But some guys have this is actually what I think. If somebody really wanted to have a rational criticism of Brock Purdy, this is what you would say about him. When I watch him play, he does not have the presence of some of the other QBs around the league that, like, make you feel confident.
I disagree with that.
Yeah,
I mean, at times, he absolutely does.
At times, but, like,
right now, he does not.
No, but the great quarterbacks, there's never. Like, even when Mahomes was having a wonky year, when the ball's in his hands, you're like, oh, right? Like, boom. Pow, like the presence. Jalen Hurts, to me, the way he moves around the field, it feels very under control. He's got a wonderful running game, a wonderful offensive line, a great defense. Like, he's got all of these things working around with him, and he's able to handle that. Brock is not someone, and I don't even know how many of these there are. Like, he's not someone who is going to go out there and be like, look, everything around me is going bad, but it doesn't matter. You've got me. So, like, that's maybe one, two, three guys, maybe.
Well, there's other guys.
Even Lamar. Like, everything's going on around him. How are we doing? You're 1-3.
I look at Baker Mayfield as he's turned into that guy. And, you know, he's a guy who has led, what, 3 fourth-quarter comebacks this year, or just 2? And he doesn't always make the right play, and he doesn't always win, but he has that moxie, that self-confidence, that swagger out there. And I'm not seeing it from Brock, and I don't know if it's because he's not feeling confident because of the toe, but just the way he is going about delivering the ball at times, not all the time. And somebody earlier was saying, maybe it was that Johnny caller who was saying he didn't make any good throws, and, you know, I give him an F- or whatever. He made some big-time throws in that game. He connected with Pearsall a couple of times, a couple of throws he made that were dropped.
Dropped.
Yep.
That was a huge throw to Kendrick Bourne.
Yep.
I mean, it might have been a game-changing throw, and he dropped it. He dropped it, and he took accountability for that. I loved Kendrick Bourne's interview afterward. He's like, they're like, is your, like, chemistry with Brock off? He's like, well, let's start with I need to catch the stupid ball.
Right. Forget chemistry.
Good answer. Good answer. We're talking it out. We'll keep taking your calls here on 95.7 The Game, and it's presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Real quick, want to read this. Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. I'm not trying to be combative on this. I just want to, like, here's what I'll say. 408 just texted in and goes, come on now. If Mac plays great and wins the game against the Rams, there's going to be a QB controversy. So maybe for you there will be. No, there won't be for the 49ers. I promise you that. And you can be mad at them for it, and you can call our station, and you can yell about it, and we'll take your call, and we'll all talk it out. Yes, maybe there will be lines of callers being like, Mac, like maybe. I can promise you that the organization will not see it that way. I can promise you that. Like, you're not benching this guy before his $260 million contract even starts. That businesses don't do that. There's too much invested in all of this for them to have snap reactions like this with a quarterback. Can you imagine $265 million? And since that contract, he's lost a game. One game. If y'all were going to bench him after one loss, well, again, as I've been saying all year, tell me you never really liked Brock in the first place without telling me that you never really liked Brock in the first place. And the organization would be the stupidest sports organization ever to hand out a contract like that to someone they were going to bench after he loses one game.
It would be ballsy. And, you know,
wow.
Depends on how much you want to win in this moment. And I can't remember what Alex Smith was making when Harbaugh, he got hurt and he went to Kaepernick and he was in love with Kaepernick. Kaepernick was his guy that he and Trent Baalke had drafted. And so
I can look that up.
He went to Kaepernick and Kaepernick won and kept winning. And that was pretty much it for Alex Smith. The other one I was just thinking about, Mark, is when JJ McCarthy comes back, Carson Wentz has looked pretty good as the backup. And when McCarthy's ready, I would imagine he goes right back into the starting spot.
That one's a little fuzzier because I don't think they were loving the way he was playing. But and I don't know how many of you slept through the game yesterday in Ireland. The final score made it look like Carson Wentz played well. He did not. Little fourth quarter comeback against a soft defense when the game was already well in hand. His fantasy numbers were fine. That was not a good game for Carson Wentz. That did not make anybody want to keep Carson Wentz in the football game. He was bad in the first half of that football game.
Yeah, I didn't see much of it.
I set that alarm.
Nice, 6:30.
I had one league that had Jaylen Warren, and I was up in time to see the Schefter reboot of Whoopsie Daisy, he ain't playing.
Oh, boy.
And I'm going to get my guy out of my lineup.
Smart.
Yeah, but I'm crazy like that. I'm just a complete nerd about this. Alex Smith, his last contract with the Niners was a 3-year, $27.7 million deal.
Sounds like a lot.
Yeah, he's making a little bit over $9 million when the Kaepernick stuff all took place.
Yeah, so that was not, like, probably top of the market. This is now going back,
you know,
12 or so years, right?
We're talking 2013, 2014.
There you go. So
that maybe it was a lot of money at that time.
And it's all so different because, as I mentioned, Alex Smith was not drafted by Harbaugh. So,
yep.
And Kaepernick was. So by the time he got to that spot, he had an opportunity to play his guy. And so I agree with you that even if they go to L.A. and they beat the Rams and Mac looks good, if Brock's toe is fine for Tampa, Brock starts, and there's really no conversation internally.
We're not there yet. I don't even think we're close to that. Mike in San Diego. Hi, Mike. Thanks for the call. What's up?
Hi. How you guys doing? Rough Monday, right?
Yeah.
I might not be able to convince all the audience, but I think I convinced some that Brock was still terrible, but not as bad as it looked, or at least the box score was. Because you mentioned that drop to Bourne earlier while we were shooting across the field. That might be a touchdown. That's 60 extra yards, that first pick. Most running backs don't catch that, but Christian McCaffrey's not most running backs. That definitely was an interceptable ball, even if it wasn't catchable, if you get what I mean. I think people are overreacting. It's one game. I think he'll be fine.
Thanks, Mike.
Walked it off.
Bong.
Yeah. It was an interceptable ball because it got intercepted. Yeah. And
you know what he means by that.
I do.
Like sometimes it's right in the receiver's hands. Like I I look at both Purdy interceptions as bad interceptions that are more than 50% his fault. But anytime there's a tipped ball, there is some unfortunate luck when it ends up picked off. I mean, the Niners had multiple tipped balls. They didn't get their hands on any
right.
of them.
That one was tipped by Christian McCaffrey.
Yes.
So it, to me, a tipped ball is when it gets tipped at the line of scrimmage. The second interception was tipped at the line of scrimmage. That's a tipped ball. When you have a running back who just juggles it, that is a different category.
Yeah, it's a deflection or whatever.
That would have been a great catch. My point has been that was an unnecessary throw. He had other options available, closer and safer, yeah. and he chose to throw late down the middle, which you know is a cardinal sin. You don't throw late down the middle, and he did, and he got burned.
I know, but at the same time, it's like one of those, if you've got a half a yard less air on that ball, it's a big, big play. And I don't want my quarterback not going for big plays when they're there. And it was a tough play.
It was not there.
It hit him in the hands.
It was behind him, and he was surrounded by Jaguars.
It wasn't behind him. He's stretching for the ball, and it had a little too much air under it. Again, I'm giving Brock more than 50% of the blame, but there
I give him 100% of the blame.
I mean, look, that's the ball.
It's first and 10. You just had the Pearsall big play. You don't need to try that.
Yeah,
that was just, for me, that was stupid. It was a stupid choice.
We love to do that. When they go short, dude, you're Captain Checkdown. When they go long, it's like you don't need to do that.
When
like,
he was Captain Checkdown, they went to the Super Bowl. Last year, he aired it out more, and they went 6-11.
You know he was not Captain Checkdown when they
more
went to
so
the Super
Bowl.
More
so than last year. Last year, his air yards were way up.
He had that. No, 2 years ago, his air yards last year. 2 years ago, he led the league in yards per attempt. You don't do that doing as Captain Checkdown.
That was yards after catch, a lot of it.
No.
That was the Yak boys at their finest.
Okay, that's taking a lot of credit from him that he deserves. James in the stack is next up. Hi, James. Thanks for the call.
My goodness, Dylan and Wibbs, glad to hear from you guys.
Let's ride.
Show is good, but, you know, I'm kind of turned off. We should call you Mark Simpson, because you're a little Hummer right now, bro, like. Come on, you're talking about tip passes. He's a little short, bro. He can't throw over the top like a Matt could. And you're talking about his last record. He's 2-6. Come on, like come
James,
on, keep it real.
James, how am I a homer and you're not a prisoner of the moment that after 4 years of watching these two quarterbacks play, one of them has been to two NFC title games and a Super Bowl. And after one loss, you're going to call me and tell me that Mac Jones is better. Like, you've got to give me a break, James. For real.
Mark, I'm not talking about one loss. I'm saying look at the last eight games.
Why would I make it all about the last eight games? He's played for 4 years in this league and has had a lot of success. So why now is he too short?
Look at the touchdowns and turnovers, 29-24. The Joe said it earlier, 29-24.
Yep.
That is terrible. That's Jameis Winston territory, bro.
It's not been great. Are you going to ignore all of the factors that are also a part of that? Are you really going to do that?
Ignore it, but he had a better squad back then 2 years ago. His squad is it's not as good.
That's how football works. Have you watched Lamar Jackson play this year?
He can elevate him.
What, is Lamar Jackson elevating him?
Well, he doesn't play defense.
Did Joe Burrow elevate his team to the playoffs? When like that's what I'm getting at. This is to me, James. This can be a criticism of a player for you if you want it to be. It's not for me. I don't mind saying that a quarterback needs things to go well around him. They all do. That's not a criticism. This hero ball that we love to play of when everything's going wrong, your 50-something million-dollar guy should go into a phone booth, change his outfit, come out and just grab the organization and take him to the promised land by himself. This is some sort of cartoon that we're watching on Saturday morning, man. That doesn't exist. That doesn't exist. You are being a cherry picker to take Brock's stats in the last year plus two games where everything has gone wrong for this organization and blame it all on him. And you know it, James. You know it.
Can you answer me this?
What's the
can
question?
You answer me this?
Of course I can.
Is he $45 million better than Mac Jones? I would say no.
Well, history would suggest yes, but I would also, my response to you would be, it's an irrelevant and sort of unfair question. That's not the position that either of them are in. So the question I would respond to you by asking, James, is would you rather the 49ers, rather than paying Brock $53 million a year, would you rather kind of go month to month? Kind of like, you know, do you want to rent it? Do you want to buy a house? Or do you want to sign a lease? Or do you just want to go month to month and kind of figure the quarterback out year to year?
Watch this. I'm gonna give you my answer.
Okay.
And then I don't know where it's gonna go from there. I would have not paid him. I would have signed Mac Jones as my backup. Kept Brock at that, and he holds out. He holds out. Mac starts or whatever they figure out. That's what they figure out. But you could have allocated all that money to build your roster up a whole lot better this year because you didn't have to pay him. That $45 million could have went to a whole lot of more players.
Well, and again,
they haven't even spent that money yet to this year's allocation.
Exactly. And James, I would respond to you and say that's a fair opinion that many have. I don't share it because I don't agree.
Don't share it.
Yeah,
when teams don't.
Thanks,
teams
James.
Don't conduct themselves in that fashion. So you're going to tell Brock, we're not going to pay you and hold out if you want. And now we have Mac, who's elevated to a starter.
Which he would.
So now you've got Mac and Adrian Martinez or whomever else you would be able to recover. So you really like a guy, but you don't want to pay him 53. So we're gonna hardball you. Even though the previous two off seasons we've done that, and it's been an absolute nightmare.
Total disaster.
Now we're going to do it with our quarterback.
By the way, you're also, because I'm not going to let you cherry pick, you're doing that with Mac Jones before you knew that he was going to win his first two games as a Niner quarterback.
I mean, some of us knew.
Yes, right. No, because by the way, Mac's not, his first game's not New Orleans. His first game's in Seattle. So again, you're playing hardball with Brock. You're signing Mac Jones. He's never played for the Niners before. All you know is that he's played for the Patriots and Jags and not won football games for the most part. And you're going to kick Brock to the curb because all of you who say, no, Brock was under contract. Dibs is right. It's not how it works. He would hold out. He would not play. No chance, no way, no how. Period. So if you want, if that's your opinion, stand on it. And I appreciate you. I do not share it. And the Niners, I think, would be a laughingstock around
stand
the league.
On it.
That is not the message that they would want to send to players around the league, that a quarterback from two NFC title games would just get kicked in the face after making $900,000 for the last 3 years after what he's achieved in this league. That's not what they want to do.
Well, you know who would do that would be a franchise like Cleveland, who gave 100% guaranteed money to Deshaun Watson, and he has played about 9 games and not well for them. And there are the franchises that would do that, and a lot of them have never been able to figure it out. The Bears have tried to find a quarterback, and maybe Caleb Williams will be that guy, but so far they haven't been able to find the solution. That's just not the way you go about doing business. And if you think that Brock is overpaid, then sorry, but that's the way it goes. That's the cost of doing business with a quarterback that you like as your franchise guy.
Yeah, and if you want to mess around with guys who are in leveraged situations, all you got to do is watch the Dallas Cowboys for the last 3 months and decide if that's what you want. But just so you know, the whole world's laughing at the Cowboys, laughing at them. And I know Micah didn't have like the greatest game, and the Packers defense didn't have the greatest game and all of those things. But the facts still remain is that the Cowboys are 1-2-1. They are no closer to doing anything special at all. And seemingly on a yearly basis are moving good players out of that roster as opposed to in. They still have no running game. Their defense is getting worse, but they have a QB. They have a QB and an injured receiver. That's what they have decided to do. You take care of your people. You take care of your people who take care of you. You don't mess with them for no good reason. So that's my take on that. Let's go to Jose in Oakland. Jose, thanks for calling. What's up?
Good afternoon, guys. Look, I'm going to include myself in the next statement, okay? Fans are stupid. If they didn't play Brock Purdy and they had signed Mac Jones, and for X or Y reason he loses the first game, the Niners are cheap. We don't have Brock because they didn't want to pay, okay? They pay him, so instead we're going, the Niners are stupid. They pay him too much, we could have Mac Jones. So we're never going to be happy. It is a given with the fans. And like I said, I'm including myself in it. The reality is that the team has a lot of issues that are out of their control. Trent Williams, he's reminding me a lot of Ray Lewis during his last 2 years. Hall of Famer, but he's on the way down, way, way down. Right now, he's the way he's playing, he's not justifying all the extra money that he asked for. Special teams, we say, man, they stink. They were really bad yesterday. Look, a quarter of the special teams that are playing with the ones right now because of injuries. Brock Purdy, who was clearly playing injured, and I wouldn't be surprised if he has been injured before they actually find out that he has turf toe, but he didn't say anything because they're used to play hurt. Okay? It wasn't the greatest game. Another issue that we have right now is no Nick Bosa, so we didn't have any pass rush. I'm not saying that we have a bad defensive line. They're just young. They're learning. Michael Williams, for all the people claiming, oh, man, we should have kept Arik Armstead. Look, Arik Armstead looked like a bust for the first 3-4 years. It wasn't until then when he started playing better. Michael Williams is at that stage right now. He doesn't look like much. He has flashes. Eventually, he'll get to that point. Those things are out of the control, out of the team's control. They're out of our control. All we can do right now is just, root for our team and see where we go. We're 3-1. It's not like we're 1-3. Whatever it goes from here, we have to stay faithful. I mean, we are the same way that we are there to criticize them. Let's stay on course and let's see what happens. You just never know.
Jose, thanks.
Yeah, sensible. And if you just look at the roster right now by contract, Purdy playing with a bum toe, Bosa, he's gone.
Out.
Ayuk, yet to play. Then you got Diamino Lenore. Trent Williams at 36 he's not having a great year. He's not having a terrible year, but we're used to a certain standard, and he's not there. Sixth on your payroll is George Kittle, and he hasn't played more than a half. So of your top six, you're without three of them for the majority. One is old and declining, and the other one has a bad toe.
Now, that, to me, is where we could have a real conversation. Now, if you're frustrated with the Brock contract, okay. Frustrated with the Brock contract, we're two games into it, so if you want to assess it now, you can. That's fine. I think what you're bringing up to me is the bigger issue. And I do think that there is a healthy conversation that can be had about the 49ers roster construction and the way they've gone about the finances of this, as certain guys, Brock not being one of them, but many of the others get late into their career. And to a degree, there's a little bit of an overlap between that and what you're seeing with the Golden State Warriors. Look, the Niners didn't win championships, the Warriors did, but the Niners came real close to multiple ones. And my take on that is when that happens, it gets really difficult to just move on from people who have, the last time we saw them, performed great. So let's think about it. You come out of the Super Bowl, you unfortunately lose, Dre Greenlaw blows his leg up right there on the field. But you come out of that, and even in the wake of a loss, a lot of people, self-included, are like, look, the Niners, they're either the best team in the league or they're right there. They're right there. And it's at that point that a bunch of players start squawking. And it's time for me to get mine. Do you want to let Trent Williams and Christian McCaffrey in that moment go?
And Kittle and Fred Warner.
Kittle and Fred Warner were a year later.
Right? Now the Ayuk, same idea, though.
Yeah, Ayuk thing is a little bit different. I thought that that was too high-priced. I also didn't love the way it was conducted. I wish that someone had locked the door that Kyle apparently ran up to save the trade from happening, because I think that that's going to turn into a real dead contract. But yeah, so far since they did those restructures with Trent and Christian, boy, it has not been good.
It's been really a struggle. And if you think about the future of this roster and the future as it pertains to Brock Purdy, like how long he'll be here. Brock Purdy, I assume, will be here for all 5 years of the contract. Whether or not he is, they can always do something with it. But for the sake of the conversation, you're going to have to replace by then Bosa and Trent and George, and probably Fred. So not only is your team not good enough now, but you're going to have to find replacements for all these people. Now, Brandon Ayuk is a guy coming off a bum knee, but you've got receivers, and Pearsall could replace him, whatever. You don't have a tackle. You haven't drafted a tackle since Colton McKivitz, and you don't have a tight end. Nobody has a tight end like George Kittle, but that's another guy who's going to need to be replaced. And Fred Warner, who is signed, I think, until 2029. He probably won't see the end of this deal, so you'll get to a spot where you'll need another linebacker before 2029.
I mean, you always do. Like, I agree with you, but like that's the business, right? You're always going to have to replace people. And I think one thing about the Bill Walsh era that probably characterizes it the best is that he got really good at replacing people a year too early. And it's tough, man.
But it's easier in the no salary cap era.
It's easier in the no salary cap era.
You just shovel money at people and bring them in.
But you do have to be willing at times to tick off some of your favorites. And we're not good at that. Like, there are favorites. I know 49er fans who are still ticked off at the Steve Young, Joe Montana deal.
Yeah.
They're still mad. It's been 35 years, and they're still ticked about it. And so's Joe.
Yeah.
And, you know? So it's tough. It's tough. And I give these teams a little bit of grace. You know, the Giants did it too coming out of their World Series. You know, for a minute, those Brandon Crawford and Brandon Belt and even Buster Posey contracts did not look great for a minute. And then they all circled back in 2021 and they were amazing. And the Giants won 107 games. And then they're like, we're on to something. And it turns out they weren't. They weren't on to something. And so they haven't made the playoffs since. It's very, very difficult emotionally, politically, public relations-wise.
Oh, yeah?
To mess with your top players when they're in the midst of their run.
Depends on what their run looks like. And I'm just thinking about the Nick Bosa piece because he is making $20 million this year, cap hit. Next year, the cap hit is $42 million. And he will probably, hopefully, be back by the start of the season. We don't know. Should be. After that, there's an out in the contract. Yeah. So that's an example of a fan favorite who, you know, he might be playing for his Niners future next year coming off of a third knee injury.
Right.
Which Hard means, choices.
Yep. Which means, A, he might not ever be as elite again. But, B, even if he is, it might not be next year. Because don't we always hear that that first year back is kind of tough. Now, I don't know, because the last time he came off of a torn ACL early in the season, he won Defensive Player of the Year. So, like,
much younger then.
Much younger.
And one more surgery removed.
One less ACL. Exactly.
George Kittle's another one. He turns 32 in 10 days. So, happy birthday, George. And he probably will still be on the IR. He's turning 32. And you start to get down that road of fan favorite. And, you know, after 2027, there's a potential out there as well.
We're sponsored by Moderna. We're one day closer to some sort of a Kuminga answer. Bob Melvin has been fired, and the 49ers, brace yourselves, have lost a football game and have careened down to first place in the NFC West. Let's bench the QB. Willard and Dibbs.
All right.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to Willard and Dibbs.
I want to give you guys an exclamation of my appreciation of listening to Dibbs' agitation meditations about Butler's association compensation expectation and Miami's expiration.
Cha-ching!
On 95.7 The Game.
All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop? Tomorrow is when we go back to, you know, having some guests on the show.
All right. Monday's about you, the people.
That's right. So you were our guest today, and there are more of you lined up. Stay where you are. Stink tomorrow? Yeah? Mark Schlereth?
That's a great.
Yeah. What do you think's going to happen in this game, Stink? You know, it's going to be a good game. What do you think's going to happen in this game, Stink?
That's great. I think it's going to be a really tight game.
There you go. And then John Feliciano at 5.
Mungo.
And y'all should make your appointment now. 5 o'clock, Feliciano attacks Dibs.
5 o'clock, Dibs teaches Feliciano a little thing about football.
I'm just like, again, yeah, fight for you. But I want our listeners to know that that's happening at 5 o'clock.
Oh, it's on.
There's a showdown.
Yeah. And he already came at me on Twitter and said, yep, can't wait to yell at you on Tuesday over my Trevor greater than Brock take, which is still getting me a lot of traffic in my mentions at this hour.
Not surprised.
Well, and now there's a lot of people with Dibs was right.
Dibs was right.
One game, I love it. Your face, America. Because that's how it works. Small sample size, Steve.
I swear to God, it's such a social media thing. It really is. Like, we re-adjudicate LeBron's career on every possession sometimes. It's just incredible. It's just incredible. Someone will throw a pick, and it's like, oh, okay, they're not good at quarterbacking anymore. This is, you know, so, all right. 888-957-957 is the number. Let's keep going. How about Manny in Union City? Hi, Manny. Thanks for calling. What's up?
Hey, guys. Good evening. Good evening. Yep. I just wanted to chime in. I was looking back on the past few years with Mr. Purdy. When he came on as a rookie, took the NFL by storm. Seventh round phenom. The whole world was amazed, including myself. What happened? Got us to the title game. Elbow got hurt. End of story. Next year, phenom takes us all the way to the Super Bowl. Does not have the supporting cast he needs. Back to the drawing board. Last year was a very, very telling year. And I think, gentlemen, that if they didn't screw up the whole Trey Lance debacle, they knew what they had. Guys, let's be real. There's scouts around the NFL that their livelihood is dependent on what they spot with talent. Yes? Sometimes they blow it with the first-round picks. Sometimes they blow it with the late-round picks. But Brock, he is playing every bit his class status. Seventh-rounder. Seventh-rounders, they can excel in certain games, in certain spots. And that's what we're getting with Brock, man. I mean, nobody knew who Brock was when he came on. Just like nobody knew how to defend a Wildcat. Nobody knew about Cap until they got all figured out. And then it was all said and done. With Brock, I'm pretty sure the scouting report said something like little short for the position, little indecisive with the ball, holds on to the ball too long. All the signs that are telling right now, guys, I hate to say it, but Niner Nation, we got fool's gold on our hands, and we have overpaid as a team and as a fan base. Nothing against the guy. Nice little seventh-round pick story.
Oh,
but
man.
He's not Tom Brady, and he sure as hell is not Joe Montana.
Yeah, and nobody said he was.
No.
And Manny, bless you, and your take is shared by many, and you can have it.
It's a little too early to tell for me.
Yeah, I just, where I start to, my shoulders get on, nice little is where I don't.
That's one of my go-tos.
Good Lord.
Little player.
It's so offensive.
It's just a little demeaning.
It's totally demeaning.
It's a pat on the head.
It's what I do to the Sacramento Kings.
That's right.
And
your guy just got it done to him. Brock Purdy, he's adorable.
Those rosy red cheeks. The Kings have never been to the Super Bowl.
Did you see him with his new wife and new baby before the game?
Yes, I did, actually.
Adorable.
Adorbs.
Super cute.
Super adorbs.
Yeah.
Okay, real quick on this. You don't have to like Brock Purdy. I don't care if you don't like Brock Purdy. But the whole, like, here comes the draftism again. Now he's performing like a seventh rounder. Good God, no, he's not. Most seventh rounders don't make football teams. He lost a football game.
Yeah, he lost it. You're finally getting it right.
Along with...
Say that again with your chest.
Along with his offensive line.
They were fine.
His droppy receivers.
Those were tough throws.
His running backs were averaging 2 yards a pop.
Not their fault.
His defensive line that never touched Trevor Lawrence the whole game.
Very polite of them.
And maybe the biggest are his special teams that were unaware of the rule that they're allowed to tackle the person with the ball.
There was a block in the back on that punt return.
There was actually.
It was actually close. It was kind of a... I saw it, I was like, isn't that a penalty? You see it again, he might have got the shoulder in front.
Look, if you don't like Brock, cool. If you think he's overpaid, great, let's do that. Can we not arrive there after what we've seen the last couple of years. Like, to me, here's how I would define, and maybe this is the best way to do it. Here's how I would define a quarterback I want to pay. I would like to pay a quarterback that when things are going well for my team, when I am blessed with general health, and when I am blessed with general execution with what's going on around me, I have a quarterback who is able to take advantage of that and advance us along the way. That's what I want. And that's who Brock Purdy is.
I want a guy who, when things aren't going great and things are a little wonky or sideways, that he can not be a part of the problem, but he can be a part of the solution. And yesterday, he was a part of the problem.
That's fair, but I would also add to you that part of the solution by itself, to me, is a fantasy. This is a fantasy. Again, I will point out Joe Burrow missing the playoffs last year and Lamar Jackson 1-3 this year and on. Even Josh Allen. Josh Allen is not, I know it may look like it, he's not doing it by himself, but oh, by the way, he's Josh Allen. Brock is not Josh Allen.
But Brock is Brock, and he's been better than he was yesterday, and that's what I want.
Yeah, he had a bad game yesterday.
Yeah, and I want Brock to be better about the decisions he makes, and that looked like last year's Brock, where he was making throws and making decisions that he didn't need to make, and he admitted that he was trying to do too much, and that's what I saw yesterday.
Granny, what do you got?
A little bit of breaking news here at the very end. This comes courtesy of Evan Grant, who's the Texas Rangers beat reporter for the Dallas Morning News.
Oh, I'm intrigued.
By mutual agreement, the Rangers and Bruce Bochy announced he will not return to manage the team in 2026.
Okay.
But he has been offered another role in the organization. And that's all we know.
Offered.
Yes. Offered.
Okay. I also feel...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Like we should pass along, I mean, other breaking news, which it'll be more kind of confirmed tomorrow. But if anybody was kind of following along with what's going on with the Monday night games, Tyreek Hill was just carted off, and it was one of the injuries that you can just see right there on the field.
His
leg was going
his
the
knee
wrong
completely
way.
Bottled.
Yeah, his leg was going the wrong way. So Tyreek Hill carted off. Very, very difficult to watch.
Very tough.
And add him to the list. Yet another very, very high-profile player who has struggled with major injury here early in the season.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, football players go out there and they play. And when they are battling injury, sometimes they get re-injured. And this is just a terrible one. It did not look like anything short of end of season.
No. Yeah, going the wrong way. Hey, real quick, Ali in San Ramon. Ali, thanks for calling. We're a little short on time, but what do you got?
Yeah, hey, guys. Thanks for having me. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
Yeah, so I wanted to just bring some positivity. I know there's a lot of people down, and I don't really think it's a Brock issue. I think he didn't have his best performance, but it definitely takes a team effort. And I've been watching football long enough to know that what we see on Sunday is not really what happens. You got to really see the coaches film and the all 22 to see what's going on. I really think it's all 11 players on the field and just missed assignments on blocks and things like that led to a lot of the mishaps that happened yesterday. So, I don't really think it's all on Brock. I think he runs Kyle's system to what he wants them to run it as. It's a timing system, so if there's one person that's out of position, it could mess up the timing. So I don't really think it's on Brock. I think we still have a good quarterback. I think we're right there. And the other thing is I kind of like our defense. I know Bosa's out, but last year we would have probably been blown out by the third quarter. So to have four turnovers by the offense and still have a chance to win it at the end, I think that's pretty good. So
okay.
I think we have a good team.
All right, Ali,
nice to end it with some positivity.
Yeah, there
Ali.
You go. 3-1. They're 3-1.
Are you sure? Doesn't feel like it.
Hang on, let me check.
They're 3-1.
While I check, Grandy, what are you about to do on the radio? What's happening?
We're going to lead off with the crossover, you guys along yep. with Steiny and Goo, and then we're going to throw it back to the guys in the morning talking about Brock Purdy yesterday.
Okay, that's what's coming up here on the game, and it's brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. Do you want to do it again tomorrow?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it again tomorrow. Let's find out if you're 16-3.
Find out if Mongo's man enough to show up to the show.
Oh, he'll be here. All right, for Dibs, for Grandy, for Lucas, I'm Mark. Shoot your shot, it's all you got.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.